Hello, welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm Justine Ward, your host. My father, Gene Ward, and I have found the perfect show to wrap up our holiday season. We will start with The Plot to Overthrow Christmas, a radio play by Norman Corwin, written entirely in rhyme. And then we have Amos and Andy with a New Year's show. Enjoy this imaginary descent into hell featuring some of the finest actors of the 20th century. This version was presented in 1945, 7 years after its debut. This is Columbia Presents Corwin, The Plot to Overthrow Christmas, broadcast Christmas 1945 on CBS.
Seven years ago this Christmas, a young radio writer-director named Norman Corwin produced his first half-hour broadcast for CBS, a fantasy entitled The Plot to Overthrow Christmas. In the years since then, Columbia has brought you many other varied works of Corwin, works which have elevated their creator to the unique position he enjoys in American radio. This holiday season, Norman Corwin comes back to the same studio to direct substantially the same cast with which he first presented his now traditional fantasy, The Plot to Overthrow Christmas. As in the original production, House Jameson plays Santa, Eric Burroughs is Nero, and Will Gear performs the role of Mephisto. Henry Morgan, better known as Here's Morgan, is a newcomer to the plot, playing a number of roles, including that of your narrator.
Did you hear about the plot to overthrow Christmas? Well, gather ye now from Maine to the Isthmus of Panama, and listen to the story of the utter inglory of some gory goings-on in hell. Now, it happened in Hades, ladies and gentlemen. It happened down there that the fiends held a meeting. The fiends held a meeting for the purpose of defeating Christmas. With the aid of a fade on the radio, we'll take you there with a hi and a hey-de-ho to hear firsthand the brewing of the plot down in the deepest Stygian grot.
Grot is a poetical term for grotto. Whenever you hear my voce sotto, or sotto voce, whichever you prefer, it's just I taking pains to make quite sure that nobody makes a poetical allusion which might in any way create confusion. I return you now to the voice you were hearing before I had to do this interfering.
As I was saying, in this Stygian grot, the notables of Limbo hatched a plot, and what went on in the sulfurous hole we'll soon pick up by remote control. Of course, such a pickup's not made quickly. As a matter of fact, it's done rather trickily. You mustn't mind if it sounds erratic. That's merely intraterrestrial static. And don't be surprised if you're deafened by thunder just as we start on our journey under. You'll hear earthquakes and all of the commoner varieties of natural phenomena. And so, below, via radio, to the regions where legions of the damned...
favorite concerto. You should look to the improvement of your manners.
Sir, if you please, my apologies. I would not have intruded upon your recital if the matter were not so terribly vital.
The most important matter in the world is piddling when it comes to be compared with Nero's fiddling.
Now, what you say may be very true, but I've been sent here to summon you to a great mass meeting of the tortured souls down in the grot of the flaming coal.
A meeting? What for? What's the big idea? Why can't a fellow have some peace down here?
Peace, poor soul, can't be found on the premises. This is a region abounding in nemesis.
Now you're talking like a travel folder. Tell me, varlet, before I smolder, why are we meeting? Who's on the spot?
We're meeting in order to fabricate a plot. A plot against a festival that mortal men comfort in and gladden in again and again. You see, every year...
Never mind the facts. I don't want to hear how mortal man acts. The only information about which I care concerns the mass meeting and who will be there.
His wickedness, Mephisto, will preside.
Naturally.
And several of the Borgias will be sitting at his side. And down in front, by the sizzling sodium, will be many personalities noted for their odium. Haman, Caligula, Medusa, and Legree.
That's all very nice, but what about me?
Oh, you will be sitting in row A, center, between Ivan the Terrible, the Tormentor, and Circe.
Mercy? Why, they're both deranged.
Do you wish me to see if your seat can be changed?
Yes, if you will, please. Taste comes first, even though a soul may be eternally cursed.
Righto. See you at the meeting, then?
Yes. And now, back to my fiddling again.
This is I, the sort of voce person. It should have been explained that Nero is rehearsing for nothing in particular. He's just that way. While hell's fires burn, he likes to play. It makes him feel a little more at home. It's just an avocation he picked up in Rome.
Called you here from over 60 seas, a boiling pitch and blazing phosphorus, to stop what constitutes a loss for us. We've lost prestige, and I greatly deplore that we stand in danger of losing more in the way of confidence and spirit. We're far from our goal. We're nowhere near it. And this is the reason. Though we've done well in carrying forward the work of hell, we've left a very big job unfinished. After all these years, there is undiminished goodwill on earth. Every late December, because of Christmas. Now, please remember, as long as this continues to be, the race of man will not belong to me. I will listen now to any questions you may want to ask, and then suggestions.
Mr. Chairman!
Brother Haman has the floor.
You say we've done well in our efforts to sell evil. I say we've done better. We've carried out the letter of your law. And I say, as a veteran daemon...
Sit down there, Haman. Enough of this folly.
Sit down yourself. You're off your trolley.
Sit down. I'm Ivan the Terrible.
You're telling us? Why, you're unbearable.
I want more decorum in this forum. These personal remarks must cease. Now, Brother Ivan, will you speak your piece?
I merely want to say, in a casual way... That Haman's a radical. Always gets fanatical. Why, you'd think to hear this pup that the devil should just give up.
Mr. Chairman, Brother Ivan is a demagogue with a brain like a fly and the manners of a hog. Oh. He shall...
Come to this. Are we going to let a little holiday like Christmas get the better of us all down here below?
No!
Very well, then, sirs. Very well. Let's go. Let's lay down our plans now to overthrow this Christmas business and all that guff of holly and mistletoe and stuff.
Mr. Chairman.
Brother Caligula may take the floor.
Mr. Chairman, I abhor, as a former emperor, anything which curbs our rule. Let us give some presents, too. Candy sticks and things to chew. Fruits and nuts and little cakes. Poisonous as rattlesnakes.
Bravo!
Let our subtlest worker be bichloride of mercury.
Brilliant!
Let us wrap in tinsel bright little gifts of dynamite.
Very good.
Work things so that men will fear when 12:25 draws near.
Good.
Soon at this rate, if you please, men will hang from Christmas trees.
My dear Caligula, permit the chair to say that we think you got something there. And now with this fine start, let's hear some more. Brother Nero, do you want the floor?
With all due respect to Caligula's views, I think there's a better method we can use. I've heard just lately men are giving the razz to classical music by making it jazz. They're swinging Bach. And what is keener? They're doing the shag to Palestrina. As a connoisseur of music, of course, I love the works of Rimsky-Korsakov. But today I note with a bitter shrug, they've made Scheherazade a jitterbug.
Much as we admire your clever rhyme, will you get to the point? We're wasting time.
I was just about to say, when interrupted, that Christmas can easily be corrupted if you take and swing all the Christmas carols. Why, think of the evil! Just barrels and barrels of sacrilege every time you play a pious song in a profane way. Why, once you entice them to swing Noel, then victory belongs to us. Well?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Legree.
I'd like to say that it seems to me that y'all are barking up a coonless tree. I think Mr. Nero's made a wrong guess. Now, the way to go about it is to get in Congress. Bribe a bunch of senators that know their oats and just make a purchase of a block of votes. And then they can legislate a situation where their rules old Christmas right out of the nation. They can all get together and pass a law where there ain't gonna be no Christmas no more.
I think Legree's suggestion is a beaut.
It's very cute.
And quite astute.
Mr. Chairman!
Yes, Miss Borgia?
I say that we should all give pause to think about this Santa Claus. He's the man behind the scenes, the symbol of what Christmas means. If we could rub him out, my friend, our troubles would be at an end. Just think how it would tickle us to liquidate St. Nicholas. A girl like me could fascinate the guy and then assassinate.
Do you think that you could do it, pretty one? Are you sure you wouldn't be by pity one?
Sometimes you are an awful tease, my master Mephistopheles. Ain't I murdered several dozen? Poisoned uncles, aunts, and cousins? Don't my work right here in Hades make me first among the ladies? Men of virtue all have cussed me. I'm sure that you can trust me.
Of that we haven't a particle of doubt, Miss Borgia. I'm sure we all have nothing but kind feelings towards you. But many times a woman spy, alas, adores her victims. Dames make poor ambassadors.
Do you imply that such defects are found inherent in my sex?
I do.
Well, listen here, old Ironsides. You're heading for some cyanides. You've crossed a Borgia, and you know the consequences that follow.
Come, disciples. This is very bad. There's nothing to be gained by getting mad. Suppose we put the matter to a vote. All those in favor of the motion made by Fiend Caligula will signify by rising to their feet and saying, aye.
Aye.
One vote in favor. Caligula's. And those opposed?
Opposed!
The motion is defeated. Up we bring the plan of Brother Nero's, viz., to swing the hymns and pious music. All those for will please respond by raising up a paw.
For!
And those against?
Against!
Very well. Now, the project of Legree's. Who is there here who totally agrees?
I do!
Legree votes for himself. And those opposed?
Opposed!
Now all those who favor Borgia's cause, it being to eliminate Santa Claus.
Aye, aye, aye!
And those opposed? It seems the women have a way with them. At least they have carried the day with them.
You flatter.
The motion's carried. And now we'll decide which one of us will take Nick for a ride. We'll all draw lots and thus settle the moot point of who'll be sent to execute.
This is your old friend Sotto Voce, visiting down where it's eternal noche. Noche is Spanish for night, you know. Merely a reference just to show that English isn't all I have to go by. Oh, well, I guess I've missed my calling. I should have been a lobbyist. You see, I'm stalling to give them time to finish the wedding. Let's see. The weather. Now I'm quoting the Daily Hellion. Continued heat both overhead and under feet. Free and moderate gases blowing up to gale force. And then going north by westerly. Light showers of brimstone toward the evening hours. That's what it says here. I'm not fibbing. How am I doing with my ad-libbing? This is a thing Bob Trout would have fun with. Say, the drawing should soon be done with. We expect the results any moment now. As soon as...
The lots have been drawn, and I'm glad to say the honor has fallen Nero's way. Now, Nero, you are charged with a great task. It's the evilest deed that we could ask a fiend to do. We'll be proud of you.
Now, just a moment. How do I get there? What do I wear? Is it dry or wet there? Is it fact or fancy or just word of mouth that he lives at the pole? Is it north or south? What shall I use when it comes to the showdown? A gun or a dagger? Now, give me the lowdown.
Now, Nero, you needn't sound so tragic. You'll get to Earth by the blackest magic. To create an express elevator is simple for an expert spell creator. With a lot of pyrotechnic dazzle, we'll let you off on a hill in Basel, Switzerland. From there, you'll make your way to the Arctic Circle, then break your way through ice with a blowtorch. After a while, you're bound to reach Santa's domicile. And once you get there, my dear Nero, all of our work will have gone for zero if you don't succeed in your assignment.
I know. If at first we don't succeed, we can try and try again. But there is no need, because nothing will come of it. Meaning no offense. Do you mind if I take my departure hence?
That, my friends, was a big brass gong. It is used to indicate that we're about to travel to points where the plot will further unravel. And now, if Ambassador Nero elects, we'll have another spot of sound effects.
Tell me, stranger, is this Basel, Switzerland, or is it already Donner und Blitzland?
Donner and Blitzenlands, 5,000 miles away.
Thank you, mister, and good day. Tell me, stranger, I've been walking inland for weeks. Where am I now?
In Finland.
Tell me, stranger, because I've lost stock. Where am I now?
In Vladivostok.
Listen, stranger. After all these centuries of blistering heat, now I have to suffer from freezing feet. I'm wincing with pain from this pesky toe.
But no speak English, Eskimo.
I declare, by my frenetic soul, I must be over the magnetic pole. My watch has stopped. Can that be right? I wonder. Ah, a light. In a moment now, you'll hear me knock on Santa's door, and he'll unlock it nevermore to lock again.
Come in.
So is doom.
How do you do, sir?
Very well indeed, and you, sir?
Splendidly. Won't you come right in? Take your coat off. I see your chin is frozen. Also your hands and knees. Sit down while I get you some antifreeze.
Don't bother, sir. I will not be long. I'm about to perpetrate a fearful wrong. In short, I am going to do away with...
Take it easy. Do not play with that gun. I know all about you.
Really?
Haven't I had my agent scout you for weeks? You've come all this way to abolish Christmas. Now, let me say...
Listen, Santa. I'm no callow stripling. I've read Ernest Hemingway and Kipling and also The Shooting of Dan McGrew. And plenty of detective stories, too. And just to show you what a broad guy I am, I've also read the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam. Do you think that a fellow with his reading so graded could have learned so little as to be dissuaded from a main objective? Why, don't make me giggle.
I'd feel a lot better if you wouldn't wiggle that gun so. Much as I'm impressed with your education, I honestly believe that a figure of your station should have given more thought to the ways of man and less devotion to the cult of Pan.
By others, no doubt, your wisdom may be prized. But I didn't come here to be criticized. In fact, I came to dispatch a duty. So don't hand me any of this tutti-frutti. If you've any last words you want to say, then spill them. I haven't got all day.
Now, what's the rush? Unless I've counted wrong, the polar day is always 6 months long.
Well, after I've disposed of you, I've got to hurry right back to hell, or they'll begin to worry.
Not about you, but about your career in homicide. Do you think that the mere loss of you would make them hysterical? Their only interest is numerical.
Think so?
Mephisto wants to rule just as much of humanity as possible for reasons of personal vanity.
By the Styx! You're right. To think that he'd dare. Are there any ladies here? Will you permit me to swear?
My answer to that is an emphatic no. There are several lady dolls in the toy room below.
Oh, Claudius! Oh, Cassius! Oh, Naphthalene! What a fool I've been! What a fool I've been! But wait. I think I see what you're after. You're as clever as a big-time Roman grafter. You remind me now of my royalty just to get me in a mood for disloyalty. Do you think I could be that meanly deceptive to Satan? Why, Santa, I'm keenly perceptive. I can see right through all your clever ruses. Nero can be plenty foxy when he chooses. I'll have you know that I'm partly a dreamer, partly a wit, and partly a schemer. I'm part philosophical and also part mystic.
I suppose you fancy that you're highly artistic.
Fancy? Why, I have such a sense of beauty.
Don't hand me a helping of tutti frutti. Any creature who really had beauty in his soul would appreciate Christmas. He would know that the whole idea of the holiday is one of such power that all the fiends below might gnash their fangs and glower, yet never in a million years could do it harm. Because it has a glory, a greatness, a charm you would know nothing about.
Is that so?
The spirit that it venerates, the good cheer that it generates, are things far, far beyond you. For all your wealth, no man on earth could sell ye these.
Am I so cursed as that? Will you tell me, please, what beauties there may be that I have never seen?
Have you ever seen a Christmas tree, tall and green, smelling of woodlands, covered with a sheen of silveriness, its branches bending low with the fruits of human kindness instead of snow?
No!
Have you ever closely witnessed what takes place any Christmas morning on a young child's face? Or perceived any beauties purer than the joys distilled in the hearts of little girls and boys? Have you ever watched a fire in a fireplace on a Christmas Eve? Or listened to grace at a table heavy with fruits and cakes and all the wonders that a kitchen makes? Fowls and pastries, wines and meats, and nuts and raisins and candied sweets. Have you ever seen mistletoe hanging from a ceiling? In frosty air, heard a far bell pealing? Have you ever come back from a sleigh ride tingling, and your feet keeping time with the sleigh bells jingling? Have you ever seen the beauty of a sprig of holly, or felt for a moment how it feels to be jolly?
Golly.
Have you ever known how exceedingly pleasant it is to unwrap a Christmas present? Did you ever know how much cheer it lends to be wished a Merry Christmas by all your friends? Did you ever experience the fun of giving? Do you know at all the joys of living?
I guess I don't. For all of me, I never knew such things could be. Just think how long in ignorance I've slept.
It must have been the company you kept.
I was a wicked tyrant once, you know.
Ah, yes, but that was centuries ago. You really had no way of knowing.
Perhaps. I guess that I'll be going. I really should be getting on my way.
But do you have to? Don't you want to stay?
You see, I'm just a bit...
embarrassed?
Why, yes, sir.
Now, don't look so harassed. I know just why you came and who it was that sent you. But that's all done with. I take it you repent you of all your past mistakes.
With many pains and aches of conscience.
Then are you welcome here. Please take your hat off, your coat, your muffler also. Take your spat off. What happened to the other one? No matter. You're pretty thin. You'll presently be fatter. I serve good food here. I'll get you a platter of steak and mushrooms, a medium or rare. I'll bet that you're as hungry as a bear. Now, just sit down. That's it, right over here. And tell me, will you have some wine or beer? I never touch the stuff myself, but I managed to keep on hand a little rye for purposes medicinal. I mean, your chin should be unfrozen. What a state it's in.
A while ago, you asked me if I understood good cheer. I do so now, St. Nicholas. I see it standing here. I want to ask you something, sir. Now, please don't give a yelp. Is there any sort of work to do where I can be of help?
Indeed there is. Indeed there is, and I am glad you asked me. I have so many toys to make this year, the job's got past me. But first, you sit and eat this bowl. I've got a little trifle I'd like for you to see. So will you sit right here and stifle your curiosity? I'll get it for you right away. It's down the hall, if you...
Well, well. Who'd ever think it? Will wonders never cease? At last, after all these centuries, I'm so happy I could buzz. It shows you what the lot of little Christmas spirit does. As emperor, I envied off the cheerfulness of peasants, and now...
Well, here it is, Nero, my boy. By way of Christmas presents, I offer you this little gift.
But Santa, for what reason?
A very good one, sir. To wit, compliments of the season. Well, go ahead and open it. Why stand there so reflecting?
I'm just collecting thoughts, St. Nick. My thoughts, I'm just collecting. Just think how far a tiny bit of fellowship will carry us. Oh, well. I say, what's this? What's this? It is a Stradivarius. Why, thank you. Thanks a million times. I don't know what to say to you. I'll tell you what I'll do, St. Nick. I'll start right in and play for you. I'll play all night and day for you.
Fine. Here's some music. I'm sure you'll play it well. It's a little piece entitled Noel, Noel.
This is I. Remember me, your sotto voce friend? I've just come back to tell you that the story is at an end.
You have been listening to The Plot to Overthrow Christmas, written, directed, and produced by Norman Corwin. House Jameson appeared as Santa Claus, Eric Burroughs as Nero, and Henry Morgan as the narrator, Legree, and Ivan the Terrible. Others in the cast were Ann Shepherd, Kermit Murdoch, Will Gere, Robert Dryden, Norman Ober, and Edward Cullen. Paul Winters was Nero's playing arm. The script of The Plot to Overthrow Christmas is found in the book 13 by Corwin. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm Justine Ward, your host. Next, we have some comedy to ring in the new year. This is Amos and Andy, featuring James Cagney as the villainous Old Year of 1943, a year of war and privation for Americans. But Amos and Andy turned Americans' troubles into laughter. The show began in 1928 as a nightly radio serial. 1943 is the year that Amos and Andy switched to a weekly sitcom. This is Amos and Andy broadcast December 31st, 1943 on NBC.
Good evening. The makers of the new Rinso bring you the Amos and Andy Show with their guest tonight, Mr. Edward G. Robinson. Well, it's New Year's Eve, and our friend Andrew H. Brown hopes to go out on a big date with the very attractive Amethyst Dunbar. His one great problem is finding a tuxedo, and after scouring the whole town without success, things look bad for Andy. At the moment, he is telling his troubles to Amos.
So you couldn't find a tuxedo in the whole town, huh, Andy?
Not one. Well, I did find one, but you ought to see the shape it was in. Mm. There was not only fraying on the cuffs, but there was fraying on the fraying.
Yeah, that's bad, all right.
Yeah, and my gal won't go out with me unless I dress up formal. Oh, the whole tuxedo situation is just like everything else this past year. You can't get nothing, nowhere, no how. Yeah. I'll sure be glad when this crazy year goes out tonight.
Well, Ann, it's just like, we got to learn to do without certain things. You know what Ruby made for supper tonight?
No, what?
What they call the eggless, milkless, butterless cake.
Yeah, well, the way things are going, pretty soon we'll have a cakeless cake. Oh, this is a bad year. Substitutes for everything.
Well, Andy, you know the reason for it all. A certain man is trying to give the world a substitute for freedom, and while we is getting rid of that man, why, we got to give up a few things.
Yeah, I guess so. Wait a minute. Come in, Kingfish.
Well,
come
how are you there, boys? How are you?
Hi there, Kingfish.
Well, what you look so down the dumps about, Andy?
Oh, I don't know.
Andy is mad about what a tough time he done had this year.
Well, I don't blame you, Andy. This year wasn't no rose for me neither.
Wasn't, huh?
No, look how I've been living. Me and my wife been fighting. Just finished another one.
Sure enough.
It seems like at the end of every year, she takes all the little fights that we done had during the year and piles them up into one big one. That's what she says. Sort of a review of all the little fights in one lump is what they do.
What is the trouble now, Kingfish?
Oh, she brung up the time that I didn't want the kinfolks to visit us. She brung up the thing about me not taking the job as a doorman.
Oh, yeah, I was there for that one. That was a battle, all right.
It wasn't no skirmish, I know that. Then last summer, she gave me $35 to pay some bills and told me to put it away, and I forgot where I put it. I never did find the $35.
Hmm. Oh, I remember that. That was last summer, yeah.
Yeah, that started last summer, still going on. And the funny part of it is, I don't know what I done with it. Oh, we've been going hot and heavy with arguments.
Well, I don't see why I is sitting here sympathizing with you. I still got to get a tuxedo by 9 o'clock tonight.
Well, you going to a party, Andy?
Sure, I got a date with Amethyst Dunbar.
Oh, you is, huh?
Yeah, but she won't go out with me unless I got on a tuxedo. And I is crazy about that gal.
Yeah, I don't know what you're going to do, Andy, if you can't rent one.
Need a tuxedo. Mm-hmm, yeah. Of course, I would lend you mine free, Andy, but I done sent it down to Georgia to my wife's brother to get married in, and he ain't sent it back yet.
Yeah.
Oh, Andy's crazy about the gal he got a date with, too.
You know, I was just thinking, maybe through my disconnections, I might be able to dig you up a tuxedo somewhere myself. How much would you be willing to pay, Andy?
Well, of course, I don't want to pay too much.
Oh, I would protect you there, you know. But, on the other hand, it wouldn't be right to pay too little.
No, but if you could find me something somewhere along there in between, not quite too much and almost too little, that'd be all right.
Oh, I assure that we can work out something, Andy. Name your price.
$2.
Name another one.
Look, Kingfish, if you think you know where you can get Andy a tuxedo, why don't you find out how much it's going to cost and then let Andy know about it?
Well, you see, Amos, unless I know how much Andy's got, it's kind of hard for me to dicker.
Yeah. But the trouble is, Kingfish, I don't know whether you is dickering the tuxedo man or dickering me. What you think of me trying Henry Van Porter? Maybe he ain't using his tonight.
No. Now, wait a minute. Don't call up Henry. You wouldn't want to wear that old tuxedo Henry's got.
Why wouldn't he, Kingfish? What's wrong with it?
Yeah.
In the first place, his tuxedo got so many moth holes in it that unless you put on underwear made out of the same material, people are going to think you're wearing a polka dot suit. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah, that's bad, all right.
Oh, don't worry, Andy. I'll find you a tuxedo. I'll even get you a right size, 44. I know that. Meet me at the large hall in an hour, and I guarantee I'll have you one.
Okay, Kingfish. Get on the job right away, and don't fail me.
Count on me, son. I'll do everything I can to help
you. Yeah.
Well, I tell you, Andy, if the Kingfish digs up a tuxedo, I'll lend you that old set of studs I got for your stiff-bosom shirt.
Oh, great, Amos. Thank you. I could use them, all right. You know, the last couple of formal fairs I done went to, I had to take a pencil and draw some studs over the buttonholes.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, Andy, you call me up at home if you want the studs, and I'll bring them right over to you.
Okay. Gee, I sure hopes that kingfish comes through.
You sure is nervous, Miss Andy.
Yeah, what is you doing here at the Lodge Hall on New Year's Eve, Lightning?
I was just killing time waiting for my wife to get through working at the lunchroom. Then we're going to a New Year's Eve party.
Yeah, well, you ain't seen the kingfish around here, is you, Lightning?
No, sir, Miss Andy, I ain't. I've been sleeping in the reading room. Look like I'm going to be up till 12:30 tonight, so I won't be in shape.
Well, you can sleep late in the morning, can't you?
No, sir. I got to get up at 7:30 to wake up my wife so she can get to work, you know. Seem like I always on the go.
Yeah. Well, the thing for you to do,
well,
like...
Well, hello there, Brother Andy. How is you?
Oh, Kingfish. Did you get me a tuxedo?
Well, yes and no, Andy. I done found a man that's got a tuxedo that fits you. The question is you got the money to fit the tuxedo? Now, that's the thing.
How much does the man want?
Well, now, I tell you, Andy, this fellow works in a defense plant.
Yeah.
And everything with him is by the hour. Now, I done tried to sell him the idea of 75 cents an hour for renting you the tuxedo. But he said that from 4 to 12 is the swing shift. It happens to be a dollar hour. That's the scale.
$8.
Mm-hmm.
But, Kingfish, I can't get the tuxedo back by 12 o'clock midnight. I don't want people at the party saying the old year went out at 12 o'clock and Andrew Brown went out at 11:30.
Maybe you could get it back by 1 o'clock, Miss Andy.
Quiet, Layton. Let's say that it do run till 1 o'clock.
Well, to tell you the truth, Kingfish, it most likely be 2 o'clock before I get home.
Mm-hmm.
Then, in case we decide to have some scrambled eggs or something after that, why, the whole thing might accumulate up to 5 or 6 o'clock.
That sure is a lot accumulating in it.
Yeah.
Well, now, the thing is, Andy, after midnight, the rate on the tuxedo goes up to a dollar and a half hour. See, the man wants a time and a half overtime on the suit. That's the way that is.
Let me see. That's $8. Four more dollars at $1.50. That's $6, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
8 and 6 is 14.
No, Andy, it's more than 14. You see, after midnight, it's New Year's Day, and on holidays, he gets double time. That's the reason.
Well, now listen, Kingfish, I gotta have that tuxedo suit. But all the money I got to my name is $18, and I...
Well,
don't
now, wait a minute. Now, there is a coincidence. That is the biggest coincidence I done ever run into.
Yes, huh?
That happens to be exactly the price that I talked the man down to, $18. Now, give me the money, Andy, so I can close the deal with the man before he changes mind. I'll have Lightning pick up the suit and bring it over to your room right away. I'll give you a dime, Lightning.
Yeah, sir.
Oh, listen, Kingfish, is I got to pay the $18 right now?
Oh, sure. That's part of the deal. Besides that, if you stalls off paying it, the scale might go up on you.
Okay, Kingfish, I'll do it. Me paying $18 to rent a tuxedo. It must be love.
Here's the tuxedo, Miss Andy.
Yeah, hurry up and unpack the box there, Lightning, and let's look at it. It's getting late, you know.
Yeah, here it is. Now, yeah. I'll put them on. That's it, Miss Andy.
Yeah, let me see here.
I'll put them up. Yeah, them pants look a little long to me.
Yeah, well, they'll do all right. Give me the coat.
Yeah.
I'll slip this on. Yeah, it's a 44, all right. Now, tell me this. How do it look?
Pretty good, Miss Anna. It sure looked like an old tie, old style tuxedo or something, though.
Yeah, it do, don't it? I guess it ain't out of style too long, though. I wonder how old it is.
Sometimes they got a label on the inside coat pocket that's got the date on it.
Yeah, let me see here what it say. Yeah, the writing ain't too clear. March the 23rd, 1924. Wait, here's the name of the man that owns it. George George Kingfish, the Lightning, this suit belongs to the Kingfish.
And he charged $18 for it.
That big bump. This is a fine way to finish up the year. This is the climax to everything.
Well, he sure has done pulled a fast one on you.
Yeah. Well, I guess there ain't nothing I can do about it right now.
No, sir, it ain't.
Listen, Lightning, stop by Amos's house and tell him to bring the studs over here.
Yeah,
sir. Oh, me, this is a mess. Well, I guess I'll have to forget it. Listen, Lightning, I think I'm going to take a little snooze till Amos gets here. That's all this year's been good for anyway.
Yeah, sir. Well, I'll get going. I better take off your coat so you ain't going to wrinkle it all up.
Yeah, I'll leave on the pants. I won't get them wrinkled.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Sure feel good to stretch out here. Thank you for bringing me this suit, Lightning. Me. Boy, is I tired.
You want me to close the door, Miss Anderson?
The door? Close it.
Yeah, sir.
Oh, no, it's close. That coming in the door.
All right, buddy, stick him up.
Oh, hey, wait a minute, mister. Wait a minute. Don't point that gun at me. Please, sir, don't shoot.
Get up.
Oh, yes, sir, yes. Don't shoot, mister. Please don't.
Up against that wall. Go on, back up. Keep your hands up.
Mister, you can have anything I got.
I don't want anything you got. All I want to do is to hide out here for a couple of hours.
Yes, sir, you can hide. I'll help you, mister.
Now, take it easy, buddy. You ain't got nothing to worry about. I just want to lay low here till midnight. Pull down that shade.
Yes, sir. Mister, that suit you was wearing, ain't you a convict?
So what? I made my getaway from the death chamber, and I'm supposed to die at midnight. Now, what's it to you?
Yes, sir. Well, who is you, mister? What's
your
name?
Happens to be a number. Here it is, on the shirt. See?
1943.
Yeah.
Excuse me, mister, 1943, but what was you in for?
Plenty of things, plenty. But mostly murders. They thought 1917 was tough, and they thought 1929 was pretty bad.
1917. 1929. And, mister, that number on your shirt there, 1943, them numbers mean something. Yeah. Them is years.
Catch on quick, don't you?
Mister, by any chance, is you...
Yeah, you guessed it, buddy. You're talking face-to-face with a year. 1943. That's me.
Yeah, sir. And this is the last day of the year. And you were supposed to die at midnight. Yes, sir, I can see what you mean by murders. You've been bad, all right.
Now, never mind. Skip that part of it, buddy. Time is short, and I got to talk to somebody, so you stand there and listen.
Yes, sir. Mister, please let me go, sir. Let me talk to you some other night.
There won't be any other night, see? This is my last chance. All I want to do is talk, tell you what's deep down in here.
Yes, sir.
See, buddy, when a year realizes that it only has a few more hours to live, a lot goes through his mind. Especially a year like me, a tough year.
Yes, I was just thinking about all the floods and the shooting, bombings and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know. You're like everybody else, glad to get rid of me. So what? I'm gone. It's just that I hate to leave without somebody knowing that it wasn't all my fault.
Yeah, well, you was leaving things in a mess, mister.
Yeah, well, it could have been different too, buddy. But when I was a kid, I met a lot of wrong guys. And I'm taking the rap.
What you mean?
Well, I got mixed up with a guy named Adolf. I didn't have enough sense to see that he only looked tough because he was picking on little fellas. Now, when it's too late, I can see that the guy who thought he was too smart to hang wallpaper is going to wind up hanging himself.
Yes, sir. I see what you mean.
Yeah, and then there was a fat kid in the neighborhood by the name of Benito. Yeah, I used to say to him, Benny, let's play checkers. And he'd say, no, let's help Adolf play London Bridge is Falling Down. Yeah, and then there was a half-pine by the name of Tojo. He lived over on the west side. He showed me how to sneak up on people and let them have it in the back.
Yeah, well, what kind of people live where you live, Mr. 1943? Wasn't there no nice kids?
Oh, yeah, sure. Right across the pond from Adolph's and Benny's was a kid named Frank. I guess his regular name was Franklin, but they called him Frank for short. He asked me to come over to his house one day and see a stamp collection.
Yeah, sir. Did you go?
No. And I wish I had. Things would have been a lot different if I'd have been on his side. I used to laugh when I thought about him saving stamps. Guess nobody realized that someday he'd be saving the little countries that printed a lot of them stamps.
Yes, sir. I see what you mean.
Yeah, I've been tough, and I ain't making no bones about it. It's just that... Say, maybe they're coming for me. Where can I go? Where can I hide?
Well, don't worry, mister. Look here. Tell you what you do. Here, put on this old robe of mine, and they won't see your prison suit. I'll tell them you was a friend of mine.
Okay, buddy, but make it snappy.
Yeah, here, put it on. Here, there. Now, put your gun in this drawer.
Yeah.
Now, stand over there.
Okay, buddy.
Now, stick them up, Mr. 1943, and I ain't fooling.
Oh, double-cross me,
Keep those hands up. I mean it, because I don't like you no more than the rest of people do. Come in.
Well, hello there. Say, what's going on here?
Amos, stand over here by me. I got him. That's a criminal. He was supposed to die at midnight. He ain't just a man. Look at him. He is a year. Look at the number on his shirt.
1943. Oh, yeah, he's a tough guy, ain't he?
Yeah, I'm going to call the police and turn him in.
Okay, you got me, bud, but the cops will never get me. I'll be gone before they get here.
What would we do, Amos?
Wait a minute, Andy. Maybe we won't turn him in.
But Amos, he's been the worst criminal of all of them.
That's right, Andy. 1943 has been bad. Full of suffering, crime, and heartaches and everything else.
All right. Don't pull your punches. I can take it. Tell him how I killed 6 million people. Set fire to churches, and put swastikas where crosses used to be.
That's right, 1943. The world will never forget your sins. But you know, no matter how bad a person is, if you will look hard enough, you can find a little good in him.
Good?
1943, you put out a lot of lights all over this world. But as you leave us tonight, we ought to remember that you left the light burning in the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. You noticed that, huh?
Yes, sir, and there's other things, too. With all the bad things you has done, you still let somebody find enough time to print more copies of a certain book than was ever printed in 1 year before.
The Holy Bible.
Say, that's right.
And when we needed it most, 1943, you give us the biggest potato crop we ever had in our history. And somebody told me that somewhere in between your crimes, you looked down on a scientist working on some old stale mold. And you let that man discover a new drug that will save millions of human lives. You know, Andy, no year that folks ever tore off the calendar was all good. 1943 ain't been all bad.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, buddy, because when I took over the reins last January 1st, things weren't so hot. I don't expect history to list me with the heroes. I'm no 1776, and I know it. Still, I tried, and I'd give anything in the world if I could try again. But a year has only one chance to make good, and people have many. That's him now, the new year. Well, this is where I came in. Hand me the gun, buddy.
Give it to him, Andy.
Well, you ain't gonna pull a fast one on us, is you?
Well, the only thing I have left to pull, buddy, is a shade between two eternities.
Well, here's your gun.
Well, there's just one bullet left in this gun that has killed so many. I saved that one for myself. Guess I better go now and let him come in. He's got a lot to do, and he'll need every minute. Who knows? Maybe he's the year the world's been waiting for. And try to remember that even a good year can't do it all by himself. Give the kid a little help and be patient with him. The tide has already begun to turn, but it takes the right kind of people to make the right kind of year. And one more thing before I go. Remember that this new fellow will have 24 hours longer on the job than I had, for he'll have the extra day of leap year. Now, if you'll all pull together and do your share, that day can be the day of victory.
Well, here I go. God bless you. Happy New Year. Come on in, 1944. Goodbye, world.
Andy, wake up.
Huh?
Andy, I brung you the studs.
Hello. Oh, me. Why did that 1943 have to go and shoot himself? He was the best year I'd ever talked to.
Andy, you must have been having a nightmare. Wake up. Come on, you got a date. You're going to be late if you don't hurry.
Oh, me. Amos, I guess you was right in letting him go, though.
What?
Well, he sure appreciated them nice things that you said about him.
Who, Andy?
1943.
Andy, you feel all right?
Who, me? Yeah, sure.
Come on, Andy, pull yourself together. Here, I'll hold your coat for you. Here.
Coat? Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, let's see how this tuxedo coat look on me. It's supposed to be a 44. It's an old style.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, how do it look?
Let me see. Well, the shoulders don't fit bad. Take the stuff out the pocket. It's kind of bulging there on the side, Andy.
There ain't nothing in the pocket.
There's something in the pocket.
Oh, sir. I tell you it ain't. I got my hand in there now. Wait a minute. I do feel something. Let me lift it up.
Look, there's something in the lining.
Yeah, take that safety pin out.
Look, Andy.
Well, I'll be doggone as money. 10, 20, 30, 35. Amos, this is the $35 the Kingfish was telling us about that he never remembered where he put it.
That's it, all right, Andy.
Amos, hand me my hat and cane, son.
Andy, you sure do look great.
Oh, Amos, I'm telling you, this is a perfect 44.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here are Amos and Andy, who would like to say a few words to their listeners.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen?
Hello, folks.
Well, this being New Year's Eve, we have asked permission to say a few words to our friends on the air.
At this time of the year, we would like to let you know how grateful we are to you.
We wouldn't feel right to let this old year pass over the hill without expressing our deep appreciation for the people who sponsor this program and make it possible for us to be here. That is Lever Brothers, the people who make Rinso. We can truthfully say that since we have started our half-hour show in October, that we have never been treated with such cooperation and understanding in our entire radio career. We told you once before about going through and seeing a make soap, and we can tell you from experience that the product we represent, Rinso, is the greatest product of its kind.
And we've had many letters from our listeners telling us that. We hope you folks don't get mad if you don't find that your grocer don't have it on the shelf, because sometimes the grocer doesn't have it there. There's no Rinso on the shelf, but it's well worth waiting for. He is getting it as fast as it can possibly be made. And by waiting for it, you'll be helping yourself and helping us a lot, too.
At the end of the year, everybody sort of takes inventory, and in our checkup at the end of 1943 tonight, we find that we are rich in friends, and truthfully, that is the most important thing we know of. We are deeply grateful to you for this, and so, from our hearts, we want to thank you sincerely, as two people can thank their many friends. We promise you that during the coming year, we will redouble our efforts to bring you the best that's in us.
And for the splendid cooperation that we've received from the boys in the orchestra, from our guest stars, from Harlow Wilcox, members of our cast, and everyone connected with our show,
We want to say to them many thanks and a happy new year.
And to you, our friends, we say may the new year bring victory to us and our valiant allies all over the world. That is our wish for a happy new year. And now let's all join in the chorus of Auld Lang Syne.
Perhaps you're lucky enough to have your loved one in the service home on leave, and you wouldn't be human if you didn't want to know about everything he's doing, nor would it be unnatural for him to want to tell you. And yet that very enthusiasm, that desire to confide, can bring tragedy. Even when you're with family or friends and are sure no enemy agent can hear, it isn't safe to mention items of war information. Remember, things which don't seem important to you may be of vital importance in a link of information. So don't ask and don't tell where our soldiers are, how many there are, how they are being transported, when they're going, or what kind of duty they're going on. If you do hear it from someone, don't repeat it. If you see it yourself, don't repeat it. But if you read it in the newspapers or hear it on the radio, you can talk all you like. Otherwise, mum's the word. Join us again next week at the same time for the Amos and Andy Show, when the boys' guest will be the motion picture star, Pat O'Brien. Our thanks to Edward G. Robinson for appearing with us tonight. He may currently be seen in the Universal picture Flesh and Fantasy. This program is broadcast to our armed forces everywhere. This is Harlow Wilcox bidding you good night and repeating from all of us to all of you, Happy New Year!
Thank you for listening to the Old Time Radio Hour. Next week we present a classic from the Ford Theater. Oscar Hammerstein adapted Bizet's opera Carmen for an American audience by setting it in a parachute factory in the South and calling it Carmen Jones. I would love it if you would join us next week when we present Carmen Jones by Oscar Hammerstein. Wishing you a very happy 2014 from everyone at the Old Time Radio Hour, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.